I don't think we got resolution on this in the community. After the mayor announced it was going to be a special meeting, it was going to be on the agenda, we were going to talk about this again, I got a lot of phone calls and email and Facebook messages from people all over the community on both sides of the argument, and I spent at least 20 hours of time, call it, as a probably conservative estimate, talking to people on the phone, responding to emails, you know, and answering questions that I was receiving. I mean, people even stop into my store and they, you know, they know where I'm going to be. And as long as they're respectful that I have to run a business and stop and help customers, I'll talk to anybody that comes in. And I don't feel like those people who reached out to me, who I had great conversations with, I don't feel like their concerns now have a voice. They're not going to be aired in the community. People aren't going to know, you know, we know what legislators and officials think, we know what community groups think, but what do the individuals who live in Bloomington, those people aren't going to get their chance to voice their concerns. That part bothered me a lot.
Didn't they get a chance last December when there was the big meeting at the BCPA? Hasn't there been a chance for public input on this question over the many times it's come up?
Yes, but we also keep changing what the ordinance is and what the ordinance says it was going to do. So, you know, depending, even aldermen on the city council's opinions change depending on what was in that ordinance. You know, we went from the original draft of it that we saw said the Bloomington Police Department may never contact the ICE folks at all, and period. We went from, unless we're following, complying with federal or state warrants. And we went from that all the way to the exact opposite side of the scale, where we had an ordinance in late January, early February, that did nothing other than repeat what was in the Illinois Trust Act. So it actually accomplished nothing in the community, to now we had this particular draft. I felt like this was a good compromise. We're you know, in working as a community, nobody is ever going to get 100% their way. So I felt like this particular draft was a good compromise, and people had different opinions on it based on that compromise. And you know, it's how do we meet in the middle on these things instead of everything being so polarized? This particular draft, what we saw was, you know, in criminal instances, criminal investigations of a crime had been committed. And I think it's also important to note that a crime is legally defined as an illegal action that could result in incarceration, right? That's a big difference there. So when a crime had been committed, this draft allowed the Bloomington Police Department full discretion to do what they needed to do to solve the crime, to you know, seek the best justice that we possibly could as a community. But in non-criminal activities, as in civil violations and ordinance violations, if you get pulled over for speeding or a broken taillight or something of that nature, it defined and said that the Bloomington Police Department could not or would not contact ICE without seeking approval from a supervisor or the chief of police. So it was like I felt like we were moving towards a compromise where we could say, if somebody does something really bad, let's take care of that in the community. But if it's not, let's look at this a different way and we can consider more information and more angles on it. And so people had different opinions on that.
What were some of the more insightful things that you heard from the public in the course of that 20 hours of taking the temperature of the city?
Well, so I was contacted by a lot of people who were on either side of the extreme. You know, a lot of folks were, these people are illegal immigrants. By definition, they have broken the laws of the United States, and therefore there should be no protection for them whatsoever. And if they are caught, we should do everything in our power to send them back to their country of origin. So that was one extreme. The other side of that was, why are you allowing them to contact ICE even in criminal investigations? We should never contact ICE. They should never be involved. And so those two extremes were represented. But there was a middle ground that was also coming into play. It says, look, we know we need to do something in our community. Best estimates that I've seen says there's between 2,400 and 2,700 illegal immigrants in McLean County. The majority of those are folks who came to McLean County on a student or a work visa. And when that expired or circumstances changes, they just never left. And so we know we need to do something in the community. We don't have the resources to try to find everybody and deport them. I think it would also have some negative impacts on our economy, but we also need to limit things as well. You know, we have a community that we need to protect. A lot of the conversations were around the increase in shootings that we've had just this year. You know, 2 years ago in 2016, we celebrated the fact there were zero homicides in Bloomington. 2017, we had the unfortunate circumstance with the father and his children. This year, things are changing and people are concerned, right?
They're not really changing, though. We just did a story that indicated that the actual number of shots fired incidents and shooting incidents is actually lower. It's just that they've been more fatal this year.
Okay, it's the fact that they've been more fatal, though, is scaring people. So if, you know, we have a community, one of the more insightful conversations I had, the lady was saying, we have a community that in order to fight this from, stop this from happening as our community, we need to pull together. Everybody needs to cooperate with the police, let them know everything they saw, where they saw it at, what happened, who they saw, what might have been serious or not. The police can determine that, right? But she said, if we have an entire population of people who are afraid to contact the police because they may be identified and deported, how are we going to pull together as a community? So how do we offer a basic level of thing saying, look, our policy is we don't contact ICE if you're just coming to us or we're talking to you about non-step things. If you break the law, that's a different thing. Just don't break the law, right? And we know that statistically, the illegal immigrants, at least in McLean County, have a lower percentage of arrests for violent crimes and things of that nature. So she's her point of view, and it was a really interesting conversation, was, you know, let's embrace these people in our community so they feel safe, so they can help us fight, because they can help us fight some of this more violent crime, because the drug dealers and the gang members who are moving in the community and theoretically, you know, doing a lot of these crimes, know that this population won't reach out and they're being taken advantage of. So how do we embrace them in the community so they help us identify the more serious problems and deal with it and hopefully go back to a safer community?
What is the way forward? Is it Alderman Karen Schmidt's suggestion of a welcoming community process, which is a far more grassroots, far more sustained effort to break down barriers?
I love when she talks about that process, because there is a lot of misinformation that is out there. You know, I mean, we hear that the only people who are trying to come into the United States illegally are drug dealers, rapists, and M13 gang members. That's what we keep hearing over and over again. And the reality is that, you know, it's simply not true. That a lot of folks have been in the community for a very long time. They could be your next door neighbors. They could be living peacefully. So we need to make sure that we do education to say these people have already been here for 20 years. They've never committed any crime. Why are they going to start committing crime all of a sudden? I still wish the federal government would get off their, we'll use just rear ends, and actually fix this problem at a national level. And, you know, I don't think it's feasible to deport 11 million people, but what do we do then? How do we create a process where people can become citizens? So going back to the original question, yes, I think that the community engagement is the right process. You know, I think that the police department defining what they do and what they don't do in terms of everyday regular stops and saying, this is our written down procedures. You know, because a lot of police officers reach out to me and said, I couldn't tell you the last time that I asked to see if anybody was a legal citizen or not. You know, it's just not something you even think about most of the time. But it's not written down. It's just something that they know But if we codify it and write it down into these are the official procedures that we follow, maybe that brings forward a level of assurance with the communities that we can start working towards that whole community and fighting back against the more violent crime.
Should the interest groups who have pushed a welcoming city ordinance have a role in inputting their thoughts to the police about such a policy?
Yes, but they're also not the only ones who should be part of that policy either, right? They, like I said, in those conversations, a lot of people were ticked off at me that we weren't putting more limits on there. I got a lot of questions of why didn't we pass the same ordinance Normal did? Well, because we're not Normal. We're a different city with a different culture and a different makeup. And we also heard from a lot of other people and a lot of other groups that they didn't want that ordinance. They didn't want there. So we were trying to find the compromise in the middle. So yes, those groups have a role to play, but it shouldn't. They shouldn't be the only ones to have a role.
Do you think there is scope for further efforts at compromise toward an ordinance after the police policy gets developed and becomes public?
I don't know. I, unfortunately, some of what got in the way of this particular effort was politics, and I don't know that the politics is going to change anytime soon. So I don't know. I don't know if this is ever going to come back or not.
What politics are you referring to?
I think that there were a couple of people who were not interested in talking about this issue simply because of the way the meeting was called, that they objected to the way that the conversation came back forward as a special meeting versus being put onto a committee of the whole to talk about, was there interest from the council to even look at another draft, you know? So, I think there were some politics that were involved with people who, personal interactions, and I think that hurt this particular effort.
Can those politics be addressed in any future effort or as a matter of ongoing process for the council on any issue?
I really hope so. I know that's a vague answer, Charlie, but I really hope we can get to... I hope we can get to a point where reasonable adults can sit down at a table and listen to reasonable comments from constituents and develop reasonable policies moving forward.
So to try to unpack that, there are some people on the council who don't like the way the mayor brings matters to the council and tries to force aldermen to take a stand on them. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
So the fix is to do what?
Well, I think that we started that process when we agreed to change how we voted on an ordinance that changes agenda management for the city council. That we would, you know, any alderman could bring forward a idea that they thought was worthy of talking about and rally support for it. They would have a public airing at it at a committee of the whole. Everybody could vote to say, yes, I think this is worth spending more time on, and more importantly, worth having staff spend more time on to flesh out all sides of this argument. And then, you know, we can have some consensus on what's on the agenda, how we're going to handle it, what sort of information we're looking for to make informed decisions.
Are there other issues where this pattern has recurred?
Actually, I thought we had been getting a lot better about it. The last time I think that there was a big kerfuffle about it was over Welcoming City ordinances in January, February. And I think that the last 4 or 5 months have run much smoother, and we have been working better together. And, it was just circumvention of process that caused people to be unhappy.